Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for our message is the epistle lesson, the author of Hebrews inviting us to rest. Well, Sven Jr. was having a rough afternoon. He was misbehaving, and Lena was getting rather frazzled. She was getting tired. She was getting frustrated. So finally, she said, "Go to your room." And so Sven Jr. goes off to his room and says, "Every time she gets tired, I have to take a nap." There's some truth to that, right? Every young mother needs some rest. But it isn't just the young mother. All of us, at one point or another, need rest. Who doesn't feel at times overwhelmed, tired, and the rest? Well, if you feel tired, if you feel overwhelmed, the words from Hebrews today are a wonderful invitation. God promises you rest. And the way that the author of Hebrews describes it, he puts it in the context of the rest that God has always offered to his people, especially the offer in the Old Testament. And so we're going to look at this offer. We're going to look at the rest that was offered in the Old Testament and how it was to be received, and be reminded of the rest that is offered to you and to me and how it is that we receive it. So, again, God promised rest to his people, a very much needed rest. It's a promise of rest to a people who are enslaved in Egypt. God promised rest. There's no rest for a slave, and so God made a promise. After 400 years, he's going to free his people from their slavery in Egypt. He's going to lead them to a promised land, a land of rest, a land flowing of milk and honey and all the rest. It was a rest that they were looking forward to. He even made a promise that he would drive out the nations before them, the nations that were living in the land, so that his people and his people alone could rest in this land. But here's where it turns. The author of Hebrews points out that while God brought them to this land, while God had made this promise, some didn't receive that rest. He puts it this way: those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. If you remember your history from the Old Testament, the people didn't believe the promise of God. God had brought them to the border, and God said, send in 12 spies, one from each tribe, so that you can see that the land is what I told you it is, a land flowing of milk and honey, a great land onto which to rest. Well, when the spies came back, instead of saying and speaking about the wonders of this land that God was giving them, they spoke about the people who were there, how strong and how mighty, how unbeatable they are. And so when God gave them the order to go into the land, to take it as their own, the people of Israel disobeyed. They looked at the might and the strength of the nations and said, "We can't take this land." And so they refused to go. It's their lack of faith that turned into disobedience. And as a result, they didn't enter the land. And in fact, they never entered the land. Those who disobeyed, those who did not believe, died in the wilderness until another generation came up. So God had given a promise of rest, but his people had rejected it. And that's the context in which the author of Hebrews now speaks to you and to me about the rest that God has for us. Because he builds on that promise of the Old Testament and says, that promised rest is still there. That promised land pointed to a greater rest for all of God's people. It's a promised rest, as I said, for you and for me. You who need rest, you who are overwhelmed, you who are burdened, you who are enslaved. Yes, we're still enslaved. Our enslavement is to sin. And if we think about it, isn't sin the source of our fatigue? With sin, there is no rest. What day do you not battle temptation? What moment don't you battle temptation? Is it not a constant battle? Doesn't it wear you out? At every turn, Satan, the world, and your sinful nature is trying to pull you away from the Lord. It's overwhelming to carry the burden when we fail that temptation. Because with the failure in that temptation comes guilt, comes shame. And that's a burden that we often bear, that we often carry. Are we not overwhelmed? Is it not tiring to carry that burden and that shame? Our fatigue, our tiredness, is a result of our sin and living in a sinful world. So that's why it's good news for the author of Hebrews to point to us to an eternal rest. That this is what God had in store for his people from the very beginning. A rest that takes place in a new promised land, an eternal promised land, heaven. For in heaven we have complete rest from our sin. There is no sin. There aren't any consequences to sin. There is no burden. There is no shame. There is no battle against temptation. All those things that fatigue us and tire us and wear us out in this life are completely removed. It's a beautiful picture of rest. And this picture is built upon what Christ has done for us. The reason that heaven is a place of rest is because of what Christ has accomplished on your behalf and my behalf. And the author of Hebrews builds on that. He says, "For whoever entered God's rest has also rested from his work as God did from his." God's work was creation when he rested originally, and now it's salvation from which he promises rest for us. Rest because of his death, a death that he paid for sin so that sin could be conquered. A resurrection which brought the promise of eternal life for all who would believe, a promised rest. And you are invited to that eternal rest, to rest from your labors, to rest from sin, to rest in the love and the presence of God with all who believe. It is a wonderful promise. But it's striking that the author of Hebrews then warns us. He recalls the events of the Old Testament and says, this is not the first time God has promised the rest. And previously, God's people lost that rest. And so he warns you and he warns me, saying, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by that same sort of disobedience. Like the Old Testament, the rest can be lost if we reject the promises of God. And that's what the author of Hebrews is warning us against. The people in the Old Testament rejected the promise of God because they looked to themselves. They looked at the nations that were there and said, we cannot take this land. They are too strong. They are too great. They are too mighty for us. We don't have the strength and the ability. They ignored the promises of God. They forgot the promises of God. And this was exposed. And the author of Hebrews reminds us that we also could fall into that very same trap of turning away from the promises of God, and that unbelief cannot be hidden. He says it this way, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The author of Hebrews points out that the word of God lays bare what's in the heart. It shows unbelief, or it shows faith. It shows a lack of trust, or a complete trust. And it's easy for us to fall into the same difficulty as the Old Testament people. How often don't we try to rely upon our own abilities, our own strength, rely upon our own capabilities of what we are to do and what we can do, rather than the promises of God? So what do we do? The author tells us to strive to enter that rest. But how? The author highlights it for us. He says, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Notice how the author makes a connection between the Sabbath of the Old Testament, a day of rest, the day of rest built into creation, that God himself rested, and the command that he gave following, that all of his people and his animals and everything else should rest. He makes a connection between that rest of the Sabbath with the eternal rest to come. What the author is pointing out is that that weekly rest of the Sabbath prepares us for the eternal rest. We could put it this way. The way you strive is by resting. There's an irony there, right? When we think of striving, we're thinking about what we do and what we accomplish. But what the author is reminding us, the way to receive the eternal rest is to rest in his word now and today. Exactly what we're doing here. Because the Sabbath rest was about resting in God and his creation and his word. God rested on the seventh day, not because he was tired, but to enjoy his creation. God gave the people of his people, the Old Testament, a command to rest on the Sabbath day. Why? To be in the word of God and to enjoy the gifts that God has given, his word, his creation, and all that comes with it. And the Sabbath for us is God drawing us to himself and in his presence so that we can find rest from our sins. And that's what we're doing here today. There's rest from our sin. There's rest as you hear today that you are forgiven, that you are loved, that your sin has been taken away. I had the privilege of announcing that to you already today, that you stand forgiven. Your sin has been paid for. You are set free. And in that forgiveness, you're set free from the burden of guilt and of shame that's been taken away. You're empowered in the face of temptation, is strengthened by the Lord because you're brought into a union with him. You're invited in a few moments to come to the Lord's table to receive Christ, to receive his body and blood, to again be drawn into union at his table with him so that everything that he has, the power, his love, his peace, his strength, his joy, are all yours. This is how you are prepared for the eternal rest. You're given a faith and strengthened in faith to believe and to trust the promises, the trust that Christ did die for you and rise for you, the promise that heaven is awaiting you. And what we do today is a foretaste of what is to come. Heaven is about rest from sin and all of its consequences. We gather here today to rest from sin and a sinful world. We come out of the sinful world to come into the presence of Christ so that all those things that affect us through the week are set aside. And that we're strengthened for the journey for the coming week. Every week we're prepared. We're brought one step closer to that eternal rest. We're strengthened so that we can cling to those promises and receive that rest. As we think about the promises of God, we are reminded that the promises of God are never just simply to wait for in the future. They're here today. So when we hear the author of Hebrews talk about it, a promised rest, an eternal rest, it's not something that you have to wait for. It is here today. Today you can rest. Today you can rest from your labors and your sin, your guilt, your shame. You rest in God's word. And as you do, you are prepared for the eternal rest. You have a foretaste today of what it will be like for all eternity. God's people gathered in the presence of God, resting. Resting in his word, in his love, in his peace, in his presence. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guide our hearts and minds to true faith, to life everlasting. Amen.